Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus came to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not his sisters here with us? Where did this man get all of this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and in his own house." And he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, with great gratitude to St. Joseph, to Our Lady, in this month of May, on which our country will be consecrated in a special way to her loving protection, and obviously Jesus, as a gift to the Holy Family, we come back to Mass. As long as we have waited, Jesus has waited longer. He's desired this communion with us even more than we have combined. Today, the Church celebrates the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker in this 150th anniversary year of Blessed Pius IX placing the Church under the patronage of St. Joseph. Pius IX did that because the Church was being assailed from outside and inside. Outside, by rationalism of the day that didn't have room for faith. Inside, by this battle, really, with fideism and some of the inner church struggles. And because of that, knowing that there needed celestial intercession, Blessed Pius IX turned to the same one whom God the Father had turned to protect his son, asking St. Joseph to protect the church. 65 years ago, Pope Pius XII followed the example of his anonymous predecessor in taking May 1st, which was a European feast of work that the communists had made Workers' Day as a notion of their own form of work. And he said, "We are going to live that day in special prayer to St. Joseph and learning from his example about how to work in a way in which it will participate in the redemption." And so for both of those anniversaries, 150th and 65th, we come here with gratitude, wanting to learn from St. Joseph about the dignity of human labor in the divine plan. St. Joseph, that just man, was called and known quite well in his own day as the tecton. I'm sorry, sisters. Just can't do it. Trying as hard as I can, but I'll keep my droplets to myself. St. Joseph was known as the tecton, the builder. Tecton means way more than carpenter, because it was somebody who was expert in building things, an architect, a construction worker, a general contractor. Likewise, a carpenter and a cabinet maker and all those skills combined in one. That's who St. Joseph was. And he was known for it because he had to be good at it. He was a builder. And God the Father, who had a choice in the matter, chose to have his son raised according to his humanity as an apprentice of a tecton. Because Jesus' whole work, his whole mission, was to rebuild the human race, which had fallen as a result of sin. And so Jesus learned most of his salvific life was spent there in Nazareth doing this simple work of building, which was a preparation for what he would be doing during his public ministry what he would be doing during his passion, death, and resurrection, what he does still. We know that work is part of God's plan for us from the beginning. We see it in today's first reading from the book of Genesis. Before the fall, God gave us a triple command of work. Increase and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over all the creatures. Why did we have this vocation to work as a constitutive part of our nature? Made in God's image and likeness, who Jesus tells us in John 5, God the Father is working still, and I too am working. God works. We were made in the image of Deus Faber. Deus, the builder, God the builder. After the fall, this procreative and cooperative work with God remained, but it had been influenced by sin. Now pregnancy would involve pain. Subduing would involve toil. Dominion would involve sweat. But the reason why those three, at one level you could say punishments, but on the other hand, medicines were given, was precisely so that through this type of cooperative work with God in bringing forth other creatures made in his image and likeness, by bringing forth, even as I like to say, out of sand, computer chips, having dominion over creatures so that we would recognize that we are stewards of the dominus. All of this was meant to help us to be recreated. Why? Because there's a twofold meaning of work. St. John Paul II, whose 100th birthday we're preparing for this month of May, and so I'll be preaching about him every single day during this month. St. John Paul II, in his beautiful encyclical Laborum Exercens, said that there's a transitive and an intransitive function of work. We make something, but in the very process of making something, we are making ourselves. St. Gregory of Nyssa had said that we are our own parents by the virtues that we create through the way we choose to behave. We can help create ourselves to be really good characters or very weak characters, depending upon our habits. And so God wanted to give us this work, not only as part of creation, but part of redemption, because precisely through that pain, that sweat, that toil, we would be able to overcome our selfishness and love. It would be more arduous to do, but it would be through that fight to do it that God's work in us would be brought to completion. St. Joseph teaches us about that gospel of work. St. John Paul II said that Joseph is the epitome of this gospel, that there is a good news that is proclaimed by our work, that our work is part of God's great plan for the building up, not just of creation, but of the pinnacle of creation, who is the human person. The great work that Christ continues is the work of the Mass. We call it the source and the summit of any life that's Christian, which means, with regard to our work, it's got to be the source of our work. We draw our life from here. It gives us strength to be able to do the work that the Lord places before us. But it's also supposed to be the summit, the goal of our work, where it's all directed. Our work is meant to participate in this work. Whatever work we do, preparing food, sweeping, some very important intellectual work, whatever. It's all meant to be part of what happens on the altar. I tell the story a lot about the scene in Chartres in 1302 when a Belgian priest had come on down on his way to Rome, and he had seen the cathedral being built, and he looked at the mason, and he was seeing the mason use a technique that he hadn't seen in any of the building in Belgium, and he asked, "What are you doing?" And the mason looked up and he said, "I am building the cathedral to Our Lady." "No, no, no, what practically are you doing?" And he said, "I am building the cathedral to Our Lady." What does it mean? That no matter what our work is, when somebody asks, "What are you doing?" we should be able to respond, because it's the truest answer of them all. "I am helping Jesus glorify His Father and save the human race." That's what we're doing now at 7:30 in the morning. That's what we'll be doing as long as we collaborate with the Lord at 8:30 and 9:30 and 9:30 tonight. We're helping Jesus save the human race and glorify His Father. That's why we'll hear in the communion antiphon later today, "Whatever you do in work or in deed, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through Him." Everything we do was part of this greatest work of all. And this work clearly involves our own. We pray during that offertory that the Father will accept this gift of His creation and the work of human hands. Mass isn't celebrated with grains and grapes, but with bread and wine. It begins with God's gift, but requires our cooperation. And it shows us how, even with our own having been crushed and broken, when we unite ourselves in our work on this pattern to what Christ Himself offers, together with the Father, we're able to make a holy and acceptable sacrifice, the only worship that makes sense. Saint Joseph is a great icon of Eucharistic faith. You know, sometimes when we look at Simeon, that image of his holding his Savior in his arms, he was able to do it, let's just say, for a minute or two. Saint Joseph spent years holding Jesus in his arms. But Saint Joseph recognized the incredible grace that we have to allow Jesus to come within us, so that from within He can continue His saving work, and so that we can do all our work in tandem with Him. Today on the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, we recognize that He trained Jesus to be a Deus Homo Faber, and that St. Joseph is praying for us, that we might always do our work together with our Savior, so that that work might redeem us, and through us and that work offered to God, like the sacrifice of Abel, save the human race. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.